Okay, so as we come to the end of Parachov Ches and Hilchos Shabbos, we're dealing now with how Chazal set up the method of measuring Tchum. So we started off yesterday in Halacha Yud Aleph, explaining the first part of the Halacha, which is that there was a rope that they would use, and that rope was 50 amos in length. It was an exact measurement, and it was made out of pishtun, out of flax, so this way there was no way to stretch it. Okay, now you'll see that this doesn't have now that we have tape measures today, life's a lot easier. But what the Rambam is going to take you through is some of the interesting challenges that they face when it comes to measuring out the distance. And the reason why is when you get to something like this crevice here that's on the screen, you run into an interesting problem, because the question becomes: is that pit, right? Sinners, if I could walk into the pit, does the pit then become part of the measurement for the tchum? And that means that if, as the crow flies, the tchum distance will be whatever, let's say 1,500 amos, whatever, 1,700. But if you include that pit, right, now it's a whole different distance. So again, the question that's going to come up is when you come up when you come across these like holes in the ground or mountains or hills, how are they measured insofar as tchum is concerned? Okay, so this is our paradigm case here, where you have the two fellas here holding the rope, okay? And as you'll see in the Rambam, the length obviously is of the crevice is 50 amos or less, because if it's more than 50 amos, they can't do this. We'll get to what they do if it's more than 50 amos, right? And the other key point is that, we'll read it again in the Halacha, that it's 4,000 amos or less in depth, okay? And again, note here that the ability to make use of this pit is very compromised. So therefore, in this case, the pit doesn't become part of the tchum, meaning it's as if the pit's not there. And imagine where my mouse is, there's a straight line of actual land over the pit. That's what's counted towards the tchum, okay? And just to show you, versus this case, which we'll see in a second, where let's say, which we'll read in the Rambam, but let's say here, what they're trying to measure, right? They're trying to measure the depth of the pit. If you notice this little thing at the end here, which is a plumb, P-L-U-M-B, and it was used to measure vertical measurements. So in this case, what they would do is that they would, if they didn't know exactly how deep the pit was, etc., they would drop this thing in, and that is after a certain distance, they would know it's too deep, and they would know therefore now that whether it should be included or excluded from the overall measurement. Okay, so this would be an example. Also, notice the incline is straight down, which certainly means it's not usable. So these are factors they would take into account when it came to measuring out the these areas, okay? So going back to the Rambam now, he says like this. So in Halacha Yud Aleph, the second part, they get to like a crevice. Im haya rachbo chamishim ama shiachol havlio bechevel amida mavlio, right? V'hu shiyeh be'amko pachos marbas alafim. So let's say you come across a crevice that is 50 amos or less in width, because again, if it's more than that, then your measurement system is not going to work. Then what do? You say, as long as it's less than 4,000 amos in depth, okay, then what we say is it's mavlia. We say that it's swallowed, okay, it's swallowed, so to speak, into the measurement, which means we act as if, what it called, there's a level land over that crevice, and you don't measure the going down to the going up. But Halacha Yud Bey says, Bamedvar Amorim, Shehaya Chut Hamashkolas, Yorah Kenegda, right? She Efshali Shtamishbo. So that's like in that picture I showed you before. If the string with the little weight at the end goes directly down, okay, and therefore there's no way to use this crevice because the slopes are too, what do you call it, severe. So then we say, since this crevice is not usable, so then it's Mavliya, then we say it's included, we act as if there's land over the crevice, and we ignore the crevice as far as the tchum is concerned. Right, but if it's a case where, to make it simple, I'm able to descend, meaning when I drop the string, it doesn't go parallel down, but it kind of goes slanted, okay, which means it is usable, then it's not mavliya, and then you'd have to measure going down the crevice and then up the crevice in your tchum measurement. Okay, so again, if you included the measurement of the crevice, then your tchum, so to speak, gets smaller. Okay, and if you're looking at the flat horizontal plane, it becomes smaller as a result. Okay, Allah Yud Gimel. Okay, Haya Gei Meukam, right? Mikadet v'Ole, Mikadet v'Yoreid. Okay, So let's say you have a valley, okay? And this is deeper than a crevice, obviously. It's more of a valley. And what happens is that it goes, what do you call it? It goes down, right? In other words, gradually. A very, very slow, you know, let's say 20-degree decline into the valley. So what do you do? Mikaded ve'ole, mikaded ve'yori, okay? Very interesting. So what happens basically is that one goes up and one goes down, okay, in order to go ahead and measure it out. Now, what does it mean that one goes up and one goes down? I have a picture in a second. So, but just let's finish the Rambam. He says, "Haya gay rachav mechamishim ama she'enochel havlio." Right? Let's say it's wider than 50 amos. Okay, and therefore, in other words, the rope won't work anymore. Right? Holachem makom she'yochel havlio u'mavlio b'tzofa ganegem midasav v'chozer. So then you have to start estimating things out. Meaning, you go to a place where that crevice is. You find some place. Let's say, again, hypothetically, let's say it's a pit, and let's say, in other words, it's circular, right? So you go to the area where the shortest part of the circle, where you can get the 50 amos rope across, right? And then you measure from there, okay? And you use that as your measurement. So that's what you do if the rope is too, what do you call it? If the rope is too, what's it called? It's too short for the width of this specific crevice. Okay, halachia dalid. Okay, higiel akosel. Okay, now here's an interesting case. Let's say they come to a wall. Okay, so again, what they're doing is that the two fellows are holding the rope, right? They stand right with 50 amos, right? Then one guy obviously stands on the left. The other guy comes around to the other side, right? And then stretches the rope to that side, and they keep doing this, right? Till they get to 2,000 amos. Let's say you hit a wall. What do you do with the wall? Is the wall included or not included as part of the chum? So the Rambam says, "Ein omer mikov es akoso." Okay, we don't say that they have to actually like drill a hole through the wall and run the rope through. Rather, ella omed rachva v'holechlo. They basically approximate how thick the wall is, and they include that in their measurement of the chum. Vim efshar lishtamish bo modedo medida yafe. Now, if the wall is something that people can use, right, it's made to be used, right, in whatever way, then they must be very precise in how they measure it. And again, if they use this this rope with the weight on the end of it, with the plumb on the end of it, and they drop it, okay, and it becomes parallel to the wall, so then we have to measure exactly the thickness of that wall, okay? So if the wall is going to be used, it requires a more precise type of measuring. Again, this is obviously not something that we worry about today. Okay, lacha tesvav, higia lahar. Okay, let's say you come to a mountain. Now here, what he means by mountain is, he doesn't mean like a mountain. He means like a raised area of land. Okay, im haya har mislaket imenu gavoa asar tvachim beorech chamesh meos mavliyah v'chozum midasa. Okay, so if the slope of the mountain goes up, if its incline that goes up is 10 tfachim, okay, with a length of 5 amos, okay. So again, if the incline is 10 tfachim, right, and the length of that incline is 5 amos, right, mavliya v'chozum midasa, then what we say is that it's considered mavliya, which means that we don't count it towards the overall tum measurement, and we just do the straight line and keep moving. So again, you don't have to include, it's a greater walking area as you go up and down, that doesn't get included. However, v'maya gavoa harbe, achi yislakim meno asar tfachim mitoch meshech arba amos, omdo v'holochlo. But let's say it's, what do you call it? Excuse me one second. If it's a much more, a steep incline, okay? And because it's that steep, and again, he measures it out, more than a 10 tfachim incline, okay? And it has a length of 4 amos, then you estimate, okay? And then proceed further from there. You kind of eyeball how much that distance is. Vim eno yochol lahavlio, kagon shaya rachbo yeser mechamishim, mekadno matmat, vizehush amru mekadno maharim. So if it turns out that you're not able to measure it because it's longer than 50 amos, then you do it again, chunk by chunk, okay? And that's what they mean when they say mekadnim bahar. So what does that mean? How do you measure out a mountain? Okay, what does it mean that they mekadnim matmat? So the Rambam says lachatez zayin. Case of Makadin Maharim, right? Obegeo Sheni Yochel Avliyam. So remember I told you before, you have valley cases and mountain cases where the rope is not, is too short, okay? So, or let's say, right, it's too short for the normative distance and they can't find a way for the rope to fit anywhere else. So what do you do? So let me bring up this picture for a second. Hold on. It says like this. I think it's very interesting what they did. One second. Oh, there. Sorry, missed it. There you go. Okay, here's a good example of what they did. Okay, basically, if you notice, let's say it doesn't matter if you're going up or down. Let's say the guy on top over here. Okay, so he puts the rope next to his feet. Okay, and then the guy standing holds the rope next to his chest. Okay, right, and then he stands there, leans down, turns around, right, holds the rope by his feet, and then this dude over here comes down and stands upright, holding the rope next to his chest. Okay, very, very slow and methodical process, but that's how they would measure these types of areas. Okay, sorry about that. Hold on. So the Rambam is about to explain that in the halacha, as he says, "Ketzad mikadin baharim obegeil she'en yochel leon ochzin shnayim chevel she'ar ba'amos ha'elyon ochez." Right. So they take a rope that's about 4 amos in length. Ha'elyon ochez k'saso mikenegin miraglosav. That tachton ochez bekatzeh sheni kenegin libo. Just like in the picture, one guy holds it next to his feet. The other guy standing upright holds it next to his chest. Right, so then when they switch positions, the length of the rope. And they keep doing this over and over again until they measure the entire area. Okay. Now, okay. So when they go to measure these things out, they should never go beyond the tchum. Midas tchumim ba'alakan, right? So it's very important they're careful not to go past what they would have known or estimated the tchum to be, because then people walking by would say, "Oh my God, these guys left they're going to mistake where the tchum ends." So it seems like everybody knew that these guys were the tchum measurers, so they have to be very careful where they end up going. Okay, to finish up the parak, and we'll say goodbye to Hotzah and Tchum. Halach Yud Zayin Ein Sokin Ela Medidas Adam Mumcha. So basically, you rely on, I think what we would call today a surveyor. But basically, you rely on experts, okay, who know how to measure land precisely, okay? There seems to be some sort of expertise with this. Hayulana tchumi shabbos muhzakin, right? Uba mumche umadad riba betchum mehen umiyat betchum. Now, let's say you have machlokas, okay? Let's say, for instance, you knew the tchum shabbos, we had a tchum shabbos measured already, and an expert come along, and what did he say? He said that it's not so clear what you guys did. Your tchum measurement isn't accurate, right? Umadad riba betchum mehen umiyat betchum, and he increases or decreases the amount. Shomelo betchum shariba. So we always listen to when he says the limit's been increased, meaning we're always wanting the tchum to be longer for people, not shorter. So we listen to the riba and we ignore the miyat. V'cheni bo shnayim mumchen. Let's say two experts come along. And they both measure the chum. Echa riba of echa miyat shomel the marbe. Right? If one said it's more, one said it's less, we listen to the guy who says the distance is greater. As long as the inconsistent part is not greater than the difference between the diagonal of the city and the straight border of the city. And I'll show you what that means in this example here. Last picture of the parak, I promise. It's this one right here. Notice the different measurements here, right? There's Alpayim Amma from here, right? And Alpayim Amma from the diagonal, okay? So the first guy measured from the diagonal versus the second guy measuring from here. So normally we would take the longer distance, except if the discrepancy measuring is done in that way, okay? Good. Now the Rambam says in Halacha Yudches, Ketzad, right? Be'esh Yir Bezeh, Nemar Shem Arishon, he's going to explain that picture right now. How does this work? Be'esh Yir Bezeh, so when the guy makes the distance more, Nemar Shema Rishon Mikaren Alachson Shalir Madad Alpayim Ovigach Miet Midaso V'Nimtzat Selat Chum Beno Bein Abdina Pachos Malpayim. So the guy coming from the diagonal made the mistake, right? Because basically, the 2,000 going straight down will be more. So speaking, the 2,000 coming from the diagonal, V'Zeachar Madad Alpayim Mitzal Medina, right? V'Emach Zikin Al Rishon Shetah B'Yeser Al Zeh. So as long as the last guy was marben more than the first guy, up to 580 amos, but if it's more than 580, separate reason why that number. If it's more than 580, then we don't accept that discrepancy. Okay. And finally, the Rambam ends off by saying, halachi yates, afilu eved, afilu shifcha, ne'manan lomer adchan tchum shabbos. It's interesting. While you require an expert to measure it out, we rely even on the testimony of an Eved or Shifcha to say, Tchum Shabbos ends here. V'dem man ha-gadol lomar zachar ani, she'ad kan hainu b'ayim b'shabbos k'sha yisi katan. You can also say, let's say an older person comes along and says, I remember when I was a kid, we used to always walk up to here on Shabbos, okay? We trust that. V'somchen al edusa b'davar zeh, right? We trust that testimony. Shlo amru chacham b'davar l'hachmer el l'hakel. Neishashir apayim amam b'divrayim. Because the chacham in general want to be makel here, because this is the Rabbanan, and remember, the Rabbanan is the apayim amam, right? The shtemasar mil is the daraisa. They want to be makel because this is the Rabbanan. Okay. Whew. Okay, the last two prakim of Shabbos are much easier, so we can relax a little bit. Perichov Tess deals with Kiddush. It's an amazing thing. We've covered, in 28 prakim, we've dealt with so many issues, but the issues that people, I'd say, confront most normally, right, he stays for the last two prakim, okay? And that is going to be things like Kiddush, Hamotzi, Havdalah, Oneg Shabbos, Kavod Shabbos, all these things are taken up in the last two prakim. Okay, so in Halacha Aleph, he says like this, Mitzvah Aseh Min HaTorah LeKadosh is Yom HaShabbos B'Dvar, Shenemar Zachor is Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh. Okay, Kolomar, Zachreyu Zechira Shevach V'Kiddush. So there's a mitzvah d'Oraisa to sanctify the day of Shabbos with words, okay, because it says, Zachor is Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh, which means remember it in this way of praise and Kiddush. Right, v'tzarech lizachreyu b'knisaso v'tzaso, and you have to be mekadesh. You have to sanctify Shabbos, both when it comes in and when it leaves. And how do you do that? B'knisaso b'kiddush hayom uvitzyaso havdala. So coming in is through kiddush, okay, and then leaving is havdala, okay. And I think everyone's pretty much aware of this. Okay, halacha beis. What's the nusach of kiddush? All right, v'zeu nusach kiddush hayom. Now again, note the terminology kiddush hayom, which you'll see is the primary kiddush. He doesn't have kihu yom tchila, just tchila. Okay. Halacha gimel. V'zeu nusach avdala. Baruch Hashem Mechalam. Ma'adil min kosh lechor. Uvein or lechoshech. Uvein yisrael legoyim. Uvein yom hashvi l'sheis ma'aseh. It's interesting how he has the vavs in there also. Baruch Hashem ma'adil min kosh lechor. Okay. Halacha dalet. Okay. Iker HaKiddush Balayla. So the primary Kiddush, meaning the essential Kiddush, is at night. Imlo Kiddush Balayla, Bein B'Shogeg Bein B'Mizid, Mekayesh V'Hola Kol Yom Kulo. But if a person didn't make Kiddush at night, it doesn't matter if he did it on purpose or through negligence, he could still make Kiddush throughout the entire day of Shabbos. Okay, but the Iker Kiddush is the night one. Vimlo Hivdil Balayla, and let's say he didn't make Havdalah Motzei Shabbos, Mavdil Amachar. Right, he can make Havdalah the next day. Umadav aholach at sof yom shlishi. We have until Tuesday night to make Havdalah. Avainu mevarach al or el b'lel motzei Shabbos levad. But you don't make a bracha borei morei eish except for motzei Shabbos. So again, if a person forgot to say Havdalah, so what they would do is they can still make Havdalah, let's say Sunday during the day, but they should not use eish at that point. Elacha hey, all right. Asul adam. Okay, this is an important halacha. Asul Adam Lechol Olishtos Yayin Mishakidish Hayom Ad Shi Kaddish. Okay? So a person is not allowed to eat, right, or drink wine, okay, from the time that Shabbos begins until he makes Kiddush. So once Shabbos begins Friday night, you can't eat anything, and you'll see you really can't drink anything except for water, but he does say Lishtos Yayin. Okay? Point is, but you shouldn't eat or drink wine prior to Kiddush. Vechei Misha Yatza Hayom, okay, and so too when Shabbos ends. It's also prohibited to eat or drink or do any malacha until or taste anything until you make havdalah. But it's permitted to drink water. Okay. So just because someone ate or drank before they make kiddush, before they make havdalah, doesn't mean they can no longer make kiddush or make havdalah. They still chayev to do those things. Now, midoraisa, okay, again, midoraisa, and this is according to the Rambam, there are those who disagree, midoraisa, kiddush is bidvarm, is with words. But in Lachavav, he explains, midivrei sofrim, lekadesh alayayin alhabdalayayin. So, the Rabbanan came along and directed that the kiddush and havdalah that you do of words, you do it on a kos of yayin, okay? V'afa pisha hevdil b'tfilah, and even though a person made havdalah in mariv, Tzarek l'havdala kos. You still have to make a separate havdala on kos yayin. V'ma'achar sheyavdil v'yomar bein kodesh l'chol. And after a person makes havdala and says, makes the bracha, mutar lo la'asos malacha. All right? So after a person, says havdala and tefillah, it's mutter from doing malacha. Api shel havdala kos. And I think everyone's familiar with that. That's the difference between havdala ala kos and havdala and tefillah. Make havdala and tefillah, Shabbos is over. You can do malacha. But as an isser to eat, you can't eat until you make havdala ala kos. Mevarach al yayin tchila, right? Varachach makadesh. And what do? You make you make the bracha on the wine first, okay? And then you make kiddush. Veino notalos yadav achi kaddish. And you don't do nitilas adayim until you've made kiddush. Okay? Okay. Alach hazayin. Ketzer du osa. So what do you do for when you make kiddush? Okay? Lokeach kosh hu machzik revius or yeser. That's step number one. You must have a kosh that can hold the revius of wine. Okay? That's why. So umadichu b'miftim v'shot for b'chutz. And what do you do? You're supposed to halachically rinse out the cup inside and out before you use it. Umaleu yayin, and you fill it up with wine. The ochzo bimino, and you hold it in your right hand. Umagbia mina karka tevach o yeser, and you pick it up at least a tefach from the table. Okay, karka here does not mean the ground; it means wherever the cup is lying on. So you're supposed to pick up the kos a tefach. Velo yisaya bismol, right? And you shouldn't hold it with both hands, right? Meaning you should only hold it with that one right hand. Okay. This all comes from the Gemara. Okay, this is all from the Gemara. So what do you do? You make a Bar Gafen and then you make Kiddush. So again, wash out the cup. It's got to hold Revius. Pour in your wine. Hold in your right hand. Make sure it's a Tefach off the ground. Don't hold it with both hands. Okay? Minhag Pasha B'chol Yisrael. That is interesting. The Minhag became among Bnei Yisrael. Likros B'tchila Parshas Vayechulu. Notice how the Rambam does not say that it's part of Kiddush. Okay, but the Minhag became that people started saying Psukim prior to Kiddush. They would say Vayechulu. V'akrach Mevarach Al Yayin. V'akrach Mekadesh V'shose Bala Logmav. Okay, so again, so that's what we do today. We say Vayechulu. We make the brach on the wine. We make Kiddush them. We drink, and you're chayav to drink a Mala Logmav, which is a cheekful. U'mashke L'chol B'nei Chabura. And then you can give it to everyone else who's joining in the meal. Okay? V'akrach Notal Yodav. And then you do it until Zadayim. U'varach Motzi Ocha. Okay? So now the Rambam just gave you the sequence of how Kiddush all the way through Hamotzi works. Okay? Alacha ches, ein kiddush al makom suda. Right? So the mitzvah of kiddush only applies when you're in the place of a meal. Ketzad. Lo yikadesh abay zev yochel bay sacher. So famous alacha, I can't make kiddush in house A and then eat in house B. Like make Hamotzi in house B. Ava im kiddush bezavizu ochel bezavishnia. But if in my own house, let's say, and I make kiddush in one corner, I can eat in the other corner. Okay? Now, v'lama mekachim beis knesses. Now, why was kiddush done in a shul? Because it used to be done that way. So the minhag to make kiddush in a shul was simply because guests would stay in the shul. Okay, kiddush was made in the shul because people would eat or drink there. That's why it's very questionable today why you would still make kiddush in shul, since no one actually there are no guests who actually eat or drink in shul. You could argue if there's like a kiddush, like a bar mitzvah meal or something like that. But that's even that's the case. That's not what they're referring to by normal orchim. Hey, Alacha Tes is one of my favorite ones in this parak. Haya misavel pas yeser min yayin. Okay, so there's somebody, and this I think has a lot of practical applications today that nobody does. Okay, let's say someone says, "Listen, I enjoy my bread much more than I enjoy wine." Okay, oh shelo haya lo yayin, or let's say he didn't have wine. Okay, hari is a notal yadav tchila. So what do? You do netilas adayim umavar hamotzi. You make hamotzi, and then umekadesh, and you make kiddush. And then you break the bread and you eat. Okay? However, but you don't make havdalah on bread. Now, this is an interesting idea. The Rambam is not saying that making kiddush on bread is inferior than using wine. He's actually saying, if I like bread more than wine, okay, I should make kiddush on bread. Right? Okay. Let's do one more. Let's say someone was going to make kiddush on wine on Friday night. V'shachach v'natal yadav kodem shikadesh. But he didn't tell us a dime first before he made kiddush. Harei zeh mekadesh al pas. Then he would use bread to make kiddush on. V'nei mekadesh al yayin achar shnitel yadav v'suda. Right? So again, it shows you can make kiddush on bread. But of course, in this situation, he wanted to make a yayin and then didn't. U'mitzvah levarach al yayin b'yom ha-shabbos kodem sh'yusot suda shnia. Now, this is the second kiddush. It's a mitzvah to make a, again, the lashon is important here, to make a bracha on yayin on Shabbos before you have your second meal. Okay? V'zeh u'nikra kedusha rabba. This is kedusha rabba. Mevarach bar pir gafen bilvad. V'shoseh. All you do is you make a bar pir gafen and then you drink. V'achrach yitol yotav yisod. And then you wash and you have your meal. V'asol l'adam shitam klum kodem shikadesh. right? A person should not eat anything before he makes Kiddush. The gam Kiddush zeh lo yeh ele makom suda. And you should only make this Kiddush if you're going to have a meal. But what's critical here is the Rambam says, bedafka, you're not being, there's nothing, there's no, it's not that they created Kiddush here during the day, that there's Dvarim, there's words, and then you make Kiddush. It's a whole separate idea of Kiddush, that before you have your suda, you must make a bracha on wine.